evening.
Good evening. This is Malka.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? How's the weather in Atlanta?
Well, it's still windy and rainy, but nothing significant. And my Wi-Fi is back up, so
good.
It was
good.
Back up about 10 minutes after I canceled the class, which is normal.
Ah, we're beginning to have withdrawals.
Yes, we are. The leaves are starting to turn.
Right.
So have you had any meals in the sukkah, or has it been too rainy?
I've had every meal in the sukkah.
Baruch Hashem.
Right, I was excited. How about you?
No, our meals have been curtailed because of
the storm.
Essentially, we don't have a halakhic sukkah, so we'll have to get it fixed next year.
Okay. Brandalus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hag Sameach.
Hag Sameach.
So we are starting section 12 tonight, the end of all flesh. And we'll start with the Lashem Yichud. Lashem Yichud, Gabri, Hu, Ishkin, Dei, Bidhila, Urchimo, Udhila, Udhila, Urchimo. Liakda, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavadhe. Liyichuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayahino, Amadonai Elohim, Elena Maseya, Deno, Kerene, Elena Maseya, Deno, Kerenehu. Vayomer Elohim El Noah Ketz Kol Basar Balefanai Rabbi Yehuda Petach Odieni Adonai Kitzi Umidat Yama Mahi Eda Mechedel Ani Amar David Kame kudsha berichu, hirein kitzin, inun chad liyam miyena, vechad lismala, veinun tirein, orhin lemeha, vahu, veho, Bnei anasha lehahu Alma ketz liyamina Diktiv leketz hayamin Leketz lishmala Diktiv ketzam lechoshech Ulkal tachlit Uchoker even ofel Betzal mavet My ukal tachlit hu hoker, man hu hoker ela, ahu ketz lishmala, lemachshich apechon divriyata. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Rabbi Yehuda related this verse to the one reading. Hashem, make me know my end and the measure of my days, what it is. I will know how frail I am. King David said to the Holy One, blessed be He, there are two ends, one on the right and one on the left. And they are two paths for man to walk in the world to the world of truth. There is an end to the right because it is written at the end of the days. Also, the Hebrew word can be translated as days or also as right. And there also is an end to the left, as it is written, he sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. What is meant by searches out all perfections? Which is also the Hebrew word for ending. Who is it that searches? He is none other than the end who is to the left. He is the searcher who brings darkness upon the faces of the creatures. Questions, comments, thoughts? Ruby, we just read verse 75 in section 12 of Parashat Noah.
Okay.
Who is he that searches out darkness? Is that the is that judgment?
That judgment is. Judgment doesn't have to be darkness. If you're being judged for a righteous action, it's not darkness. It's the effect of a righteous action is a positive judgment. But generally speaking, we think of judgment as a negative aspect because it is on the left column. It's Givurah.
Right.
Judgment, that's because we as human beings, our mistakes are very often not related to positive actions. So what does it mean, the darkness? It generally means the left column. Relative to the right column, the left column is dark. The left column is a lesser energy than the right column. Chesed is greater than Givurah. They're equal, but the left has accepted domination by the right. Netzach is greater than Hod. Again, they're equal, but Hod has accepted domination by Netzach. Chachma is greater than Bina. They're equal. They're always in unity. But Bina has accepted the control from the right column. So darkness always means the left column. In the verse from Job and in... Go ahead, Martha.
So he is the left column, is the Sephiroth of the left column. Is that how we define he, who seeks out darkness?
No, that's referring to Satan.
Okay.
Who has two jobs. Satan has two jobs. He's to go around the world searching out darkness, meaning the left column, meaning the desire to receive for oneself alone. And then once he has seen that action, he then goes up to the courts and relates what he has seen as the prosecutor,
right,
asking for a negative effect for that negative action.
Getting
so
permission.
He searches out that, referring to Satan.
So he's getting permission to bring down a negative action to that person, as in Job.
Yes, to bring down a negative effect to that person.
Right. So that person may seek repentance and go against that negative side of them? Is that the whole purpose?
It The purpose is for the person to realize that he has made a mistake. Seeing a negative effect come upon a person, he must now look into himself and determine what he did that caused that negative effect. Once he understands what that is, then he can do teshuvah, and in effect rise higher than he was before. That's what people don't really believe. They don't recognize that truth, that with proper higher level of teshuvah, they can change every aspect of their lives. They can climb higher than they could before if they hadn't done the negative action. And that takes a lot of contemplation. As a student of Kabbalah, it's just not logical. But it is the way the system works. Should I go on to verse 76?
Yes, sir.
Ketz lek leyamina kid ka'amaran diktiv leketz hayamin amar lo kutshabarichu ledami yael ve'ata alech v'aketz v'tanuach amar lo menucha b'hai alma o b'hahu alma amar lo b'hahu alma k'da'ayanuhu al mishkin avotam amar lo b'zimna Dikumin Mayafra Ekum Benaihu Olav Amarlo Vita Modamar Lohayadana Diakumun Kitot Kitot Minchon Dizakae Kishot Umin hon bechayave alma bela yadana iman min hon eikum el legoralcha amaleya ha amart yata lech laketz idketz leyamina The eat kets lisam lismala, filayadana, lian kets lakets, ayamin holikets, ayamin amarlo, lakets chaimin, ayamin. The end of the right is, as we have previously said, at the end of the right. As the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Daniel, but go your way till the end be, for you shall rest. Daniel asked him, in this world or in the world of truth? And he answered him, in the world of truth. As it is written, peace to them that rest in their graves. He asked him, at the time when they shall rise from the earth, meaning at the time of the resurrection of the dead, shall I rise and be among them or not? And he answered him, and stand, Daniel continued. I know that at the time of the resurrection they shall rise in groups. Some of them shall be the righteous, while the others shall be the wicked of the world. But I do not know with whom shall I rise. And he answered him, for your allotted portion, meaning among the righteous. He continued, but you said, go your way till the end be. But there is the end of the right and the end of the left, and I do not know to which one I will go. And he answered him, at the end of the right. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Um. I go back to the resting in the grave. So I think we had spoke about this in the past, about the soul actually stays with the body for about a year because it doesn't know how to detach itself. But those, Daniel, I find that he will not struggle in the grave, and that his soul will leave his body and not desire to be back in that body. That's kind of what I get out of that verse. Some will struggle, and they don't ever want to leave the body, because that's they've been in the body for a number of years, and they don't know how to detach themselves. But having peace within yourself and know that this body's only temporary, that in Daniel's case, he was at peace, and he knew he would be at peace, and that he would not have to return to his body, his soul would not return to the body. That's kind of how I see it.
There's a bit of a confusion.
Okay.
If we're talking about Daniel, Daniel is questioning whether he's going to be able to return to the body.
Right.
And if he does return to the body, if he does return to the body, is he going to return with the wicked or with the righteous? Daniel doesn't consider himself a righteous man. He considers himself a normal human being, and as such, he's never sure whether he's doing the right thing. Now, that's what's being used as a metaphor for us to understand what this verse is saying. This verse is saying everyone resurrects, but they resurrect into two groups, one of righteous people and one of wicked people. Now, once you understand that there are two groups of people being resurrected, you have to ask what is going to be the difference in their life. What will be different about this world and the world that is coming? And that's for another discussion, but I've mentioned it a number of times about the prophecy where the animal sacrifice will be resurrected, that the temple will be rebuilt and those animal sacrifices will come back, but not for everyone. For those who have reached the state where they merit being resurrected with the righteous, they will be moving and flying around Jerusalem and living 1,000 years of pleasure. For those who did not do their spiritual work during this lifetime, these lifetimes, the physical world, they will continue to study the Torah so that they can continue to elevate their soul, but it will be much more difficult to do that elevation in a world that is structured than in a world of tikkun, a world of correction. All of that is being hinted at the minimum, in the Pasuk 76.
But did it also say that Hashem said you would be with the righteous, speaking to Daniel?
Speaking to Daniel, he said he would be resurrected with the righteous.
Okay.
And
does that
ultimately, at the end of the 7,000-year period, which isn't being discussed in this Zohar, but when the final Gemar Tikkun, the final Tikkun of everyone, there will be no person who's ever lost, who's never considered wicked. There will only be righteous people.
So Daniel's soul will elevate, and he's not sure if it will or not. But if he is to, when he passed away, went into the other world, he actually goes through the same process as all souls that pass away, or all vessels that decay in the earth.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So he was just concerned about the resurrection. He was just concerned about his final destination.
Correct. He was concerned at where he would be in the resurrection of the dead. Will he be with the wicked or will he be with the righteous?
Okay.
So we have, we've had two verses now tell us we have an end on the right and an end on the left. But the whole concept of an end is limitation. There's no continuity if there's something comes to an end. Like people who get married but do not have children. Is there continuity for their souls on the level of the physical world?
Yeah.
Until the resurrection, there's no continuity for them. Because they have no children to carry on their name.
Right.
Their teachings, etc. Should I go on to the next verse?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Verse 77. O Faka David Amar Lo Laku Chabarihu O Dieni Hashem Yitzei Mayu La Adi Vila Nach Dateya Adit Bashar Yehevel Yamina Diktiv Shev Lemini Tachate of Kuchabarichu Amar Lola Noah Ket Kol Basar Balifanai Mani Hu Daket Yach Shach Apaihu Diriata Tehihu Ketko Basar. Similarly, David said to the Holy One, blessed be He, Hashem, make me know my end. What is the portion of my lot? That is, he wanted to know his fate, and he had no rest until he was told, sit you at my right hand. Come and behold, the Holy One, blessed be He, told Noah as well, the end of all flesh has come before me. Noah asked, which end? The end of the right or the end of the left? And he answers, it is the end that brought darkness upon the faces of the creatures, being the end of all flesh, which means it is the end of the left, which is the angel of death. Questions, comments? Lots.
And Noah was asking of that generation?
He was asking about himself.
He was. Okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Welcome. How are you? Go ahead.
I'm fine.
Hello.
Well, I'm wondering, since we've seen Daniel, who from Torah We know it's in the Tanakh. We know it was a very righteous person. And here now we have King David, so it's making me wonder, should we not ask the same question of Hashem ourselves?
Of course. Have you ever heard me say I'm a righteous person?
No.
Every time someone says I'm really a good person, I tell them they're wrong, right?
Right. And I always feel like that, too. You know, you... Sometimes it doesn't
If you are asking if your actions are the correct ones, that is the start of constantly rising and growing. Because if you get an answer back that says, no, you weren't right, you have an opportunity to do teshuvah. And the fact that you ask, was I right in doing that action, is indicative that you're open to doing teshuvah. But we all have met people throughout our lives, not many, not often, but we've met people who never ask if they're wrong. They're just certain whatever they do is correct. And they keep doing it. And they keep hurting people through their unawareness. They keep hurting people through their actions. And this is the way of the world. We know that that person who never asks if they are doing it right is going to resurrect. But he's going to resurrect as a member of the wicked class, the wicked group. I hope that was clear, Hannah.
Yes. I mean, I've always felt like I have to ask myself, what's my motivation? Am I doing it for myself, or am I really doing it for other people, or am I really doing it because for the love of Hashem? But I don't think I ever thought that I had to actually voice and say, will I sit on the left or will I sit on the right? You know? Or my end be the right or the left? And especially seeing it with two biblical characters, that's what made me think, well, maybe we need to ask the question, that question.
We definitely do.
Yeah.
We constantly have to question whether what we've done is correct. That's how you know you made a mistake. Because remember, we cannot judge the effect of an action in the physical world based on the senses we have.
Mm-hmm. I felt like these verses were actually talking about at the resurrection, not so much because he did ask, this world or the world of truth. So I didn't see it as that upward step, you know, of being another level of motivation and questioning and asking that specific question. I don't know if I'm making myself understandable.
I think I understand it.
Okay.
What you're saying is that our actions have consequences, and those are the effects. But we can never really know what the effect is going to be. As this, you know, I've told the story before quickly about the man who arrived late at the airplane to go to a very important business deal, and he missed the plane. And he was absolutely devastated because he had a big business deal dependent on him being in that city the next day, and he couldn't get there. And then he was ecstatic driving home because he heard that the plane had crashed and all had died. Now, obviously, it's not a great thing to be ecstatic over somebody else's misfortune. But from his perspective, thinking only selfishly, he was ecstatic that he hadn't gotten on the plane. We constantly have to ask, and we constantly have to know that the answers we received in those, answering those questions are never going to be totally correct. You will always have doubt whether you're doing something properly. And that's one of the reasons that we recommend that you, in our generation, you don't reach out to teachers and listen to what they say without evaluating what they say. In earlier generations, you could call your Rebbe and ask his question, and the Rebbe would give you an answer, and you didn't have to think about whether you were doing the right action. You just followed what the Rebbe said. But in our generation, we don't have that luxury. We constantly, whatever action we do, we need to rethink it. We need to question whether it's positive for us, for the world, all the many different levels. Or if, God forbid, is it negative?
Oh, no.
We're out of time. Yes.
I have one more question. The end of the right would be the righteous, and the end of the left would be the wicked. And we were discussing the wicked would have to learn, stay behind and learn Torah. But the righteous,
correct.
I mean, I don't think I have enough lifetimes at this point to know all of the secrets of the Torah. So when the end of the right, or the righteous, they will know in an instant, they will know all the secrets of the Torah or the Zohar. They will know everything there is to know about Torah.
Well, are we talking about the end of this 7,000-year cycle or the seventh 7,000-year cycle?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
You're talking about the end of this 7,000-year cycle. You'll reincarnate into the third 7,000-year cycle. And ultimately, you will, until you totally cleanse yourself so that your connection to the Creator is immediate and total. Which means that all of the secrets, all of the wisdom of the Torah will be at your fingertips, at your memory. It'll be embedded within you. And this is one of the reasons why the human being is only using 3, 4, 5, 7% of its total mental capacity. Because when it's totally corrected, we'll be using a lot more. We'll be utilizing all of the psychic abilities, all of the different senses in a different way. But that's, you know, we're in the process. Even though we're going to be completing the second of the 7,000-year cycles, we're still in the process. And then while you're in the process, you cannot conceive the end.
So you're saying
you just have to keep...
five.
I'm saying that we have what?
So we said the second of the 7th-year cycle. So we have 5 7-year cycles left at this point?
That's my understanding. There are differences of opinion. The Ari says that you do not have to go through the other 5, that it'll be complete with our own. Most of the Sephardic sages say that there will be a need for the other 7,000-year cycles. So it's hard to tell.
Don't some say that the reason they think it'll be this one is because the exile has lasted so long?
That's their hope. That's the reason for the lengthy exile. That Moses really didn't make a mistake when he took the Arab Rav out of Egypt. That he took them out in order to make their correction. But only time and resurrection is going to tell us that. So we need to live each day in the moment, in that day, and do all of the positive actions in that day that we're capable of.
This year when we invited the Ushpezin to the sukkah, I felt it was important to invite the mothers as well as the, like with Abraham, not just Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. And that, I hadn't thought of it before. It just sort of came out. And then it struck me that the possibility of being able to see Arabs and the Palestinians coming together, and all over the world, peace coming.
Baruch Hashem. If you see it, you can make it manifest. If you see it within yourself, then you can make it manifest within yourself.
Okay. Well, I had a dear Palestinian friend. He helped me scrub floors of the apartment we had moved in. And even though we couldn't understand each other, we understood each other. And then we'd have coffee and, you know, I mean, it was a wonderful thing. Can you shake the lulav more than once in a day?
Well, you're shaking it 18 times each time you stop. You're shaking it 3 times in each of the 6 directions each time you stop in the Hallel.
Okay, well, you have visitors and you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You stop 5 times during the Hallel, so 5 times 18 is 90, plus the one that you do at the beginning. And so you're making 91 shakes, for lack of a better description.
Well, I was thinking of like when I go out in the morning and I did the mitzvah, but then I had several visitors during the day. And so you demonstrate and I don't know, that question never came to me before either. That's the reason I ask.
Well, if you're doing it from the purposes of education and teaching, I hope you're not saying the blessing. You're saying Hashem rather than Adonai in the blessing. You can do it more than once during the day. Just don't make the blessing more than once.
Okay.
But if you're making the blessing in the frame of teaching, that's not making the blessing.
Okay. Now, we wouldn't say Adonai Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh at the same time?
Say again? Adonai what?
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, like you do with all our prayers and all.
If I'm saying it as a part of the study, as part of what I'm doing, yes, I would say that. But if I'm saying a blessing for a mitzvah, I'm going to say that at the same time, but my consciousness is very different. So I am not supposed to say Adonai if I'm teaching. I'm supposed to say Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like when I say Adonai in the reading of the Torah, I'm making a mistake. It should say Hashem, and then I should also say Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
That'll take another 30 minutes to explain to yourself.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that on Wednesday if you still have a question about it.
Okay.
What happens if you don't do everything correctly, like me?
And me.
I mean, what happens if we don't do the right procedures and the right prayers? I'm learning. And I know that I'm not.
While you're learning, it's a totally different frame of reference. You're given lots of leeway. Just like as a child in a primary school, they're learning to read and they miss sound the words. You know, nobody gets upset. They just go over it and over it and over it till the child learns. So while you're learning, it's one thing. If you've reached the level of a tzaddik and you make that minor mistake, there are severe consequences. But at our level, those consequences don't happen. It's like Nadav and Abihu, the sons of Aaron who brought the strange fire and died. They should have known better. And because they were so righteous already, for them to make that mistake would cause their souls to leave their body. And yet, if we're teaching somebody who's never done it before, that person isn't going to be risking dying. That person has plenty of leeway because Hashem is merciful and He knows you're practicing. So continue to make your mistakes. And when I'm reading the Torah in the synagogue on Shabbat morning, and I start the conversation by saying, I am going to make many mistakes. But what I say and what you hear are two different things. So when I make a mistake, it doesn't mean that you hear the mistake. Because there's an angel that takes my sounds, corrects them, and puts them in your ear. I hope it's clear.
Yes, thank you.
You all have a beautiful evening. Our class tonight at 7 o'clock will be about the last 3 days of the holidays because of the problem I had yesterday. So have a beautiful evening, and we'll pick up with verse 78 tomorrow at our 4:30 West Coast time class. Shalom to all. Hug
Samantha.